Podshow is pleased to bring you the following killer content direct from the all-new feature-rich podshow.com. Get it, play it, dig it.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Gays and lesbians are all the rage.
We're here and we're queer.
Windy City Queercast.
We're talking mega gay.
Ooh, I like that.
I'm Peter Maverick.
I'm Amy Matheny.
This Queercast is brought to you in part by
Bud Light. Always worth it. American Airlines. Offering the GLBT community exciting vacation packages online at aa.com/rainbow. LaSalle Bank. LaSalle Bank, making more possible.
And this is your Windy City Queercast, show number 68. I'm Amy Matheny.
And I'm Peter Maverick.
Hello, Peter.
Hello.
How are you?
Good.
Yeah, happy new
Doing
year
good.
Still
happy
going
new year.
On.
Yeah, yeah.
Still on that new year energy.
Yeah, getting back in the swing of things at work. I've been working out every day for an hour, so I've been very, very good with that.
Kids are all back in school. Not that you or I have any
I don't have
gay kids.
Well, I have kids, but they're cats, so they don't go to school.
Well, you don't know when you're not here of a day.
I'm sure
they have
like
higher learning.
Smoking catnip. And watching PBS.
Yeah. It's like kind of education,
higher education. That's right. That's right. So today I think we'll talk a little bit about entertainment news because we have a great interview later on in the show with some great entertainment stuff. We're going to tease you. I'm just going to say the word burlesque and we'll talk about it in a little bit.
I love that.
That's all I'm going to get. I'm just going to give you the word burlesque.
Peter, and I love that you brought out your fans and feathers for us today.
I know.
You look really
Swing
fetching.
That boa.
You look very fetching. Hey, you know, the big SAG Awards came out, and you know, these are the Screen Actors Guild Awards, and unlike, they are a little more to me akin to the Golden Globes than even the Oscars in some ways, except this is truly just a focus on the actors and the performances, which is usually what people give a shit about when they're watching the Oscars.
The GP, I mean the general public.
Yes,
yeah, absolutely.
Yes, lay people really just want to see their favorite stars and they don't really care who did the sound editing or any of the digital
makeup, clothing,
sound.
I don't
or,
care,
any of that.
I care,
so,
but most people.
But this is a really exciting, and I think they like it because I think they get really drunk and they hang out and they sit with one another and they're in a room with all these stars in a much more profound way, maybe.
Yeah.
It's not diluted by other aspects of the industry
Correct.
When they're in that room. So,
and the casting agents are the stars.
Yeah. And usually anything, kind of in the Golden Globes too, because they sit them at tables, you know, with wine. And that's when Jack Nicholson always just has way too much. And they always bring it up late in like the 11th hour.
But he's
the
all
actor,
smiles and bubbles.
Yeah, he is. Like, well, you know. But the Screen Actors Guild is similar to that in that... it's really a fun thing to watch. I think they usually air it on the Independent Film Channel.
Yeah,
or
it usually
AMC
hits somewhere
or something
on
like
cable,
that.
Yeah.
So I'll have to be Googling that, finding out where they're going to air
it.
But some really, some things that we knew were probably going to be there. The Helen Mirren, let's just go ahead and say. It's her
She's
year.
There. Two, she got two nods.
Yep.
But there were some things that aren't there, and I'm a little peeved about that.
All right, go.
So I did not see Bleak House at all anywhere on this
list. Yes, I'm not seeing Bleak House either. So the Globes kind of get my kudos for their
for
understanding
them.
Of the Victorian repressed cold woman aching.
Right.
That Gillian Anderson brought us.
And then I'm a little weirded out. I guess, well, you know, we were just talking about this just a second ago, but I'm a little weirded out that Jennifer Hudson was nominated for Outstanding Performance by a Female Actor in a Supporting Role.
Well, and I think that's going to happen in all of the awards. She was obviously nominated for a supporting role in the Golden Globes, too. And I think that the interesting thing here is that sometimes supporting performances... I mean, there was the year that Judi Dench won, and I think it was for Shakespeare in Love, and she literally was on screen for less than 5 minutes,
bang, bang,
like
boom.
3.5 minutes or something. It was the shortest performance they've ever said to win an Oscar. Mm. And sometimes, you know, these are all political. Mm. Like, all of these awards are political, so they submit... Somebody, the producers of the show, submits each person if they want them to be considered in a category. Mm. And the best way to have her have a shot at winning, and therefore you'd say, you know, that it receives an award is to have her in the supporting category. That's really probably it. I mean, you also think of Abigail Breslin, the young girl in Little Miss Sunshine, is a pretty leading role too in that. I mean, why would she be less leading than Toni Collette in that or something else? So sometimes it's just where it's an appropriate place. Children often get placed in these supporting roles or younger people because they can potentially win them, as Anna Paquin did with the piano.
And well, speaking of Little Miss Sunshine, they got 3 nods.
Yes.
So that was quite a
deal. Did you see this movie?
Not yet.
It's really a fun movie. You know, it's one of those movies that I wish I had seen it without any hype and build up, but I didn't listen to too much of it, so it was good. It's a really satisfying, enjoyable, quirky cast of characters and storyline. But I feel like if you've seen any of the trailers, it's kind of ruined most
of it. No, I know very little, but all I know is Toni Collette's in it. But the good news is it's at the top of my Netflix queue, and I just returned a bunch of stuff, so it should be coming to me in days.
There you go.
Also,
we should say that Meryl Streep, who is just Dame Meryl Streep, even though the Brits can't acknowledge her, is nominated for The Devil Wears Prada. And there's part of me that, as much as I love Helen Mirren, and I want her to win every one she could possibly win. I hope at the Globes that Helen can win dramatic, and that Meryl could win
comedic,
and then I could just die. I mean, that would just be, I mean, if I could be standing in between those two while they both won an award, I could just die.
Well, now I have to say that female actor in a leading role category is quite interesting because you have Penelope Cruz for Volver.
Yes, which you love.
I've
yet to see.
Judi Dench, Helen Mirren, Meryl Streep, and Kate Winslet. So
what a powerhouse.
So many. And look at all the Brits.
Yeah, it's interesting. You know, I mean, Judi Dench, which I talked about last week, Notes on a Scandal, she and Cate Blanchett are nominated. And I have to tell you, it's a really gripping film if you get a chance to see it, with this weird lesbian tone.
Pedophilia.
It's just got weirdness all over it, uncomfortability. But the two women are doing really some of their finest work. And the movie that I have not seen, it has been the movie that I've kept saying, I want to go see that, is Little Children. And the really breakout part in Little Children is the supporting role that's played by an actor that many people may not know. And I just saw in here that he was actually nominated.
Jackie Earle Haley.
Which is Jackie Earle Haley.
Oh, he's Earl. Okay.
And if you remember who he is, he was kind of if you were a fan of The Bad News Bears many years ago, he was the young kid that was kind of the smoker with the long hair, kind of scraggly. Well, he turned into being a very odd little tiny man. He's a very short little guy. And has really kind of craggly, weathered skin now, but you can still see that little kid from The Bad News Bears. And this is truly, you know, they're saying a resurgence of his career in Little Children. So I've not seen this. I've heard that all of the actors in that film are just, you know, really, really stellar. And then TV's got some fun stuff.
I did not see the Shirley Jones movie, Hidden Places. I'd be interested to see that. I have to hunt that down now because
I didn't see that either.
I was like Shirley Jones. Oh my goodness.
Can I tell you, I met Shirley Jones when I was like 8 years old. I rode with her in a car. I took her flowers when the Cleveland, Tennessee Symphony played. She was the invited guest and she came in. My mother was the president of the symphony. This makes me sound very blue blood, but it's Cleveland, Tennessee, folks. So just remember that. But Shirley Jones came and I got to take her flowers after she sang and performed. And I was already a big musical theater fan, so I'd seen all of these shows. And then I got to ride in the car with her to the reception and she was lovely. And the funny thing was, as I'm sidelining, I didn't even see Shirley Jones' name on here.
I did left off the page at me.
But Shirley Jones, a number of years later, I think it was like 8 or 9 when that happened. A number of years later, I was probably 14, 15. I happened to be in the Atlanta airport and I saw her. And I walked over to her and I reintroduced myself. And she's a lovely, lovely woman. I've met Sandy Duncan too.
Oh my God, you've met all the TV
Tavern on the
moms.
Green in New York.
That's delightful. What did she sing, Shirley Jones? Do you remember?
Oh God, I'm sure she just sang stuff from Carousel and stuff from Music Man. And just, she sang American classics. That's what I remember, Broadway. Broadway American.
The songbook.
Yeah.
Something from the
songbook. But I didn't know she was still like
out there
doing her thing. So we'll have to look
totally
for hidden
totally
places.
Yeah. Mariska Hargitay is, you know, up there. Love her.
She's sexy.
Have you seen Medium yet? Have you had a chance to see it?
You know, I have not seen Medium, and this is going to have to become a show. I watched The Closer, and Kira Sedgwick was nominated. I watch every... I watch so much television. I can't believe that I don't watch Medium, but I've heard it's really fantastic. So
it is. It is.
I will get the box DVD.
Yes.
From Netflix.
You must. It really has come into. It really has come into itself.
Sorry, go ahead. No, I was going to say the show that I'm really excited that is getting some attention just because it's something so different on television, I feel, and has really grown in its first season, and that's Ugly Betty. Mm. I think the fact that Latin characters are being presented on stage mm-hmm. and the fact that they have a non-typical nuclear family, mm-hmm. America Ferrera is just an unlikely heroine and yeah. is so charming. And then you have these great, it's just such a gay show. It has that whole Devil
Ugly
Wears
Betty,
Prada.
The
it is, but it's, but it has this whole Devil Wears Prada environment. Of course you have Vanessa Williams being this fashionista,
right.
magazine type, and you have the gay assistant who's her assistant, who's really a very fun character actor. I don't know his name, but he's charming. But you have America Ferrera, Ugly Betty's nephew, who is this very flamboyant young, I would say 9-year-old boy.
I love that.
Which is just, it's just really a lovely, delightful show. It's so utterly satisfying. And I don't know that it's going to win any awards, but I love that it is nominated. And then the other show that I love, of course, is Weeds, which is the exact opposite. Not right. satisfying, makes me writhe, makes me laugh and feel like I am literally should be in prison yes. because I think it's funny. And
The Housekeeper yeah. is my favorite in that show, I have to say.
Yes.
She is my favorite. The things she says.
Yes.
Just she's got those little quips and those little things, and I love her. She was talking about smelling with her cunt or something. The other day. It was delightful.
I got you turned on to the Weeds.
You
didn't
did.
I? Yeah.
I'm so painfully addicted. Have you seen The Dirt yet? I know that's not Golden Globes.
Dirt?
Yeah.
I did see it. I didn't love it. I'm going to give it a few episodes. I'll watch it because I didn't love Big Love the first episode. So it's taken me some time.
No, I think it's going to have to be Warm Out before Big
Love.
Yeah.
No Big Love nominations.
Yeah. That was the
which
other
is surprising
mad
to me.
As hell about it.
Surprising to me. But other than that, Grey's Anatomy definitely has some. I would have thought that Grey's Anatomy would have had an outstanding performance by a female actor or actress, but doesn't. But it does have ensemble, and that really is the way I think they try to position themselves. The only person who is singled out is Chandra Wilson, who plays, of course, the Nazi surgical
the
resident
character.
Who takes care, who is in charge of all these kids, and she's amazing. So
right. Well, to switch gears just a little bit, staying within the entertainment realm, they are going to finally start filming the fourth Indiana Jones film.
Well, good God,
so
can somebody
excited.
Please like give Harrison Ford a blood transfusion what are they going to do?
All of them, because, Lucas is 62 now. George Lucas is 62.
Yeah, but
62.
He's behind the camera. He's not running with the big ball rolling after him and stuff.
I hope he has big balls.
I know. This
him.
Is your.
I
this
love
is
the Harrison Ford.
Could we just have Harrison Ford and Helen Mirren join Peter and I for a show? Then we'll
just
die.
One
we'll go off the air
just
after
one
that.
Show.
You all will not have to listen to us anymore.
Well, I'll get off somehow. Something will happen.
Me as well, but I do that in my dreams with Helen. It's very fun.
But it's so exciting. I think just to look at those movies and how they span time and how they truly got better with every digital improvement or every sort of movie magic nuance that we knew how to use. So just to have them filming something today with all the digital technology that they have and everything, I just can't wait. It's going to be a feast for the eyes. They said they waited so long because the script wasn't there.
Yeah.
So they finally brought it back home and they finally said they got something good. So they're all getting together. Lucas Spielberg and my baby daddy Harrison Ford.
Well, I just hope they don't have so many toys, meaning digital toys, that because what was so great about what I thought was so great about that first one, and also some of those Romancing the Stone type movies, Michael Douglas, kind of Kathleen Turner movies, was just that sheer charm and charisma of the leading characters and these adventure type settings. And it wasn't about how big something blew up.
No, exactly.
It was a big ball rolling after him. That was a great effect. But it was more about his charm, his charisma, the writing. And I don't feel like they make movies like that anymore.
If they were able
to do it, we'll see. I mean, obviously this new Rocky movie's gotten really great reviews based on what it is. They said finally they have come back and revitalized a bit of a feeling of the first Rocky.
Well,
maybe they can do that with this. I don't know.
To me, a good effect in a movie is an effect that you don't doubt.
Yeah.
You don't doubt. It's not super, oh my God, incredible, unbelievable. You just, you don't doubt it. And I still have not seen the James Bond movie, but I heard from a lot of people that all the effects and the bells and whistles they use are actually believable.
Yeah. I can't wait to see Casino Royale. That's all I got to say. But here's the deal. We have to hope that Lucas learned anything from Star Wars 1, 2, 3, because people went with him with the type rolling out sideways in the opening credits. Like that was enough. Like, wow.
Right. Oh my goodness.
How'd they do that? You know, that it didn't matter. I mean, stormtroopers in plastic suits, like it just didn't matter because I don't know. Were we simpler? And obviously you and I were younger, but was it just a simpler time? I don't know. It feels like now there's such literalness to so much adventure filmmaking that, it's about a thrill seeking thing. And I don't remember, finding it thrilling to watch Indiana Jones, but I don't remember these thrill seeking moments, except maybe the snakes. And other than that, I don't remember like the moments that I were like, that's a thrill.
I do. I think all the, I mean, John Williams did the score. So that that always adds just that layer of richness to it. But I don't know. I think that I would compare, like, for me, Star Wars was like a roller coaster ride to see all the pew 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 and things
Strikes
like that.
Back was just the best,
but it was a roller coaster ride, and I think the Indiana Jones stuff was like a good novel.
Yeah,
like I could sit down with a great story, I could get inside of it. Anything Holy Grail lore, I was all over as a little kid. Anything about the Ark of the Covenant, I was all over. So he was touching these things that were kind of tangible in my head.
That
in
sounded
a weird,
dirty.
Just
the
weird.
Ark of your covenant.
The Ark of the Covenant. The Ark of my covenant.
The Ark of Peter's covenant.
So I'm excited.
Come on over, Harrison.
I don't know nothing about this one. I don't know nothing about nothing.
Have they released
the
title yet?
No, they're being real tight-lipped. So.
I mean, I have to say that the only thing that I'm really trying to think, and I don't go see every movie that's out, but I'm a pretty avid moviegoer, even all different types of movies, and I think that really maybe only the Harry Potter movies have had the same kind of magic and wonder and drive and adventure for me, which is a totally different genre, I understand. But
who are the existential detectives? What movie was that? Lily Tomlin, Robert De Niro.
I don't know.
Waiting for Guffman.
Oh, you mean...
Did I get that completely wrong?
No.
Oh my God, I'm crashing and burning here. Whatever. Anyway, that movie got me...
Waiting for Guffman is a very documentary style.
Sorry, wrong answer. Rock, cut, and take next.
That's all right.
So today on the show...
Not showing at all is basically what we're talking about. Don't blow your wad, you know, Lucas and Spielberg. And that just leads us right up to burlesque, which is different than what happens at the Admiral Club in Chicago, where you just see cooch everywhere.
Yeah, you can show the cooch at the Admiral because there's no booze on the premises.
There's no booze. But in the lovely city of Chicago, which is where we reside, alcohol and cooch cannot be...
No, you cannot show the nipple. You can't show,
you can
the,
show the nipple. You just can't.
The nipple with booze? I didn't think you could show the nipple with booze
anymore.
Well,
maybe you can show it with a pasty. I don't know. I think
you can. But that's not a nipple, right? You're hiding it.
I don't know.
I don't think you can show the nipple or the vajayjay or the balls or penis with alcohol around.
All right. Well, because then people get crazy.
Right. Well, you know.
But we are thrilled to have with us on the show a friend of mine since I think early in... being a vocal part of
in the
this
40s.
Community. Yeah, in the 40s, Jessica Hallam and I were in a small Parisian cafe smoking Galois.
And drinking absinthe.
No, Jessica and I have known each other for a very long time, and she is a big part of a new show. She's not going to be doing... Well, maybe she is doing burlesque.
I don't know.
I didn't ask her. But Girlesque Burlesque, which is being brought to us by the Sissy Butch Brothers once again. And if you aren't in Chicago and you're going to miss this show, it's just a fascinating interview, too, just about the world of burlesque and how it's kind of taking storm. And they have amazing burlesque performers coming to Chicago from all over. And if you remember back in our early podcast, we talked to Margaret Cho about her new discovery of burlesque. So it's all coming full circle. So stay
tuned. And Margaret Cho is in the show. She is coming to Chicago. She is going to get burlesque with it.
And write that song, Beyonce. And honestly, if you have anything to do this weekend, it's not as important as going to this show, because it will be fun and it will change your life.
Shows, so you can go to one and not go to the other and still do whatever you need to do.
So keep listening, because we're gonna have some fun. Plus, Jessica is a stand-up comedian, a really brilliant and quick-witted stand-up comedian, so it's really fun to sit and talk with her. So you will enjoy it. And and then we're gonna have our news. There's a lot going on in the news, man. The beginning
there
of the year
is
kicking it off. And then we should kind of say that our next show, which is
show number 69,
mighty fun, 69. Like a wine, it's gonna be the boys in the house.
The boys in the house, Johnny Dangerous and I are going to, he's going to be my co-host, just with the most, just for a minute, because you know Amy's busy with her show.
I am busy with my show, and I said, Peter, for your 69th, what would make you ever so happy?
And I said, let's get that dirty hoe who raps
about. And he said, bring on that Johnny Ho Dangerous. So
who knows how to talk about boys in the right way.
You all have fun. I love me some Johnny. So Johnny, I'm sending out my love to you, and I will miss you. But I appreciate, you know, because Regis used to do this. Regis would leave.
Just for a minute.
For a minute. And or Kathy Lee would leave, and Regis's wife would come on the show on the early days of the Regis
June?
And Kathy Lee. Joy.
I knew it was a J.
So I think it's Joy. I don't know. It's years ago. But anyhow, Johnny, I feel absolutely confident with you filling my seat.
Ooh, that's dirty.
Or, you know, sitting on my seat.
The triple entendre.
Sitting
there
on my face, or whatever you want to do, baby. So anyhow.
It's that kind of show.
It's just
folks.
A naughty week here on the Windy City Queercast. So please stay with us.
Find out what happened before Dorothy dropped in at Wicked, Chicago's newest smash hit musical, and the untold story of the Witches of Oz.
Popular. I know about popular.
Popular, USA Today calls Wicked a triumph. And Time magazine writes, if every musical had the brain, the heart, and the courage of Wicked, Broadway really would be a magical place. Now, this Grammy Award-winning blockbuster has cast its spell over Chicago. Wicked, at the Ford Center for the Performing Arts, Oriental Theater.
And nobody in all of Oz, no wizard that there is or was, is ever gonna bring me.
Call 312-902-1400 or visit BroadwayInChicago.com today. Because the longer you wait, the longer you'll wait to see Wicked. Sponsored by Chase.
Need a vacation from your holiday? Crave some real relaxation and cuddle time without Cousin Susie watching your every move? Not to worry. GayHotelDiscounts.com is here to help. If you're a queen in need of a king, bed that is, you can find the luxury you desire at a price you can afford. Powered by the strongest search engine on the web, GayHotelDiscounts.com are your gay travel experts.
Bud Light presents Real Men of Genius. Today we salute you, Mr. Camouflage Suitmaker.
Mr. Camouflage Suitmaker.
Your amazing skills of deception can trick a deer into thinking we're just a tree out for a walk, or a shrub having a cup of coffee.
Shrub having coffee.
Tirelessly you perfect your artistry. The squiggly black line, the blob, the slightly larger blob, all in spectacular shades of green. Thanks to you, we look fabulous in or out of the forest with a suit that can be easily accessorized with face paint and a few twigs.
Dressed to kill.
So crack open an ice cold Bud Light, Mr. Camouflage Suitmaker, because when it comes to blending in, you really stand out.
Mr. Camouflage Suitmaker.
Bud Light Beer, Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis, Missouri.
And this is your Windy City Queercast News. Massachusetts legislators have voted to advance a proposed constitution amendment to ban gay marriage, a critical step toward putting the measure on the 2008 ballot. The supporters of the gay marriage ban amendment collected signatures from 170,000 people in an effort to get the question on the ballot.
The Justice Department said that the domestic violence rates fell sharply between 1993 and 2004. The Bureau of Justice Statistics said that, quote, intimate partner violence rates, including violence between same-sex partners, fell by more than 50%, reflecting a trend in other violent crimes. The research also determined that American Indian and and Native Alaskan women are far more likely to be victimized than whites and other minorities.
David DelVecchio, the mayor of Lambertville, New Jersey, has promised to perform his first civil union ceremony as soon as the state's law takes effect in February. DelVecchio announced his plan as he was sworn into his sixth term. He added that a gay couple has already reserved the first spot.
In Seattle, a man has been convicted of fatally beating and stabbing a business owner he met on a gay chat line. Michael Saga Mayava, 24, was convicted of first-degree murder following slightly more than a day of deliberations in King County Superior Court, although the jury could not decide on a motive. He faces as much as 34 years in prison for the attack on Kevin Shaw, 44, who ran an executive recruiting service, invested in a home building business, and had worked for several accounting firms.
Gay former New Jersey Governor James McGreevy returned for the first time in 2 years to his old state house office to attend the hanging of his official portrait. McGreevy, who told the nation on August 12, 2004 that he is gay and had been involved in an extramarital affair with a man and would resign, was joined in the private ceremony by his partner, Australian financial advisor Mark O'Donnell, and his parents.
Out pop star George Michael pocketed almost $3 million for performing at a Russian billionaire's New Year's Eve bash, making him the highest paid entertainer in Russian history. The unnamed businessman flew Michael and his 20-person entourage out to his private estate to entertain his 300 guests with an hour-long concert. Unfortunately, the singer lost a large quantity of music equipment in a fire that occurred at the estate. And in other George Michael news, the Careless Whisper singer will appear in a London court on January 11th to face charges of being unfit to drive. Oh, he may need that $3 million. Mm-hmm. Michael had a succession of driving incidences, as we know, over the past year, including a crash in April. He was officially charged with being unfit to drive on December 21st.
And finally, Justin Timberlake has reportedly ended his 3-year relationship with Cameron Diaz. Didn't know they were dating. The Sexy Back singer has allegedly been telling friends that the couple's 3.5-year relationship is over. Allegedly, Timberlake now has his eyes on actress Scarlett Johansson.
Well, she does have a good bosom. And that is your Windy City Careercast news.
Here's your kids' meal.
Oh, thank you.
Don't forget, that comes with a free prize.
A pony!
What do you say, Maggie?
Thank you!
What if wherever you went, you got more than you were expecting?
Turn left on Ashland Avenue.
Whoa, this GPS thing is amazing.
I know.
We've never gotten to Debbie's this fast.
Turn right on Wood Place.
Look, there's her house.
And remember, her boyfriend's name is Kurt, not Chris. Chris was her last boyfriend.
At LaSalle Bank, we think more is precisely what you should expect. More responsiveness, more service, more convenience. In a word, more.
The doctor will see you now.
My appointment's not for another 10 minutes.
Well, the doctor's running a little ahead today.
And with any luck, our philosophy will catch on everywhere. LaSalle Bank, making more possible. LaSalle Bank N.A., member FDIC.
Windy City Queercast is brought to you in part by Broadway in Chicago and Wicked, the most popular musical in Chicago history. For tickets, visit wickedthemusical.com/Chicago.
Hi, Neil D. Paris here from NewWorldAstrology.com, Windy City's very own astrologer. Now you can have a personal reading based on your own birth chart. Discover your life path, your gifts and challenges this lifetime, relationship compatibility, career, finance, and more. Practical advice using real astrology. It's unique to you. You'll be amazed what your birth chart reveals. Everyone has a unique life purpose. What's yours? Find out more at newworldastrology.com.
Culture Club. Culture Club. Culture Club. Theater.
Music.
Dance.
Art.
Performance.
Provocative.
Hilarious.
Exciting.
Queer.
Innovative.
Campy.
Edgy.
Original.
Get some culture in your life.
Join the club.
For the week of January 8th, 2007, you are in Chicago's Culture Club. The Wooden Breeks begins January 24th at the Looking Glass Theater in the Water Tower Waterworks. Heidi Stillman directs Glenn Berger's masterful tale of a man tormented by the memory of his beloved and stuck in his own story. Join dreamers, schemers, and would-be lovers navigating their way through the murky Scottish town of Brood. For tickets, call 312-337-0665 or visit lookingglasstheater.org. And as always, for more Culture Club, visit windycitytimes.com.
Hello, everybody. This is Cherry Jones, and you are listening to the Windy City Queercast.
Well, let me tell you, the new year would not be a new year without some sexy burlesque entering into our community. And for a couple of years now, I think I don't know the time frame. I'll clarify that here in a minute. But the Sissy Butch Brothers have been throwing some shows all over town, girl-ass burlesque, all in an attempt that started out as this small fundraising attempt. Mm. I guess it's a big fundraising attempt, yeah. But it was a one-time fundraiser that then has now grown into a series and series of events. This is going to be their biggest one coming up this weekend, folks, Saturday, January 13th at the Vic. Girlesque, Burlesque, and the Sissy Butch Brothers all are going to be putting it on in the most spectacular performers in the nation. Yes. They're going to be bringing in. And to talk with us about it, she is the hostess with the mostest. I've been on the radio with her many times. I think Peter and her are having a virginal experience right now.
Yeah, we were doing shots somewhere. I know. Yes. I don't know where.
But Miss Jessica Hallam is on with us. Hey, Jess, how are you?
Hello. I'm great.
Happy, New 2007 year. To you.
007 so far is really good.
It's really exciting, isn't it?
It is. It's an exciting year. The weather's great. You know, the clock is ticking on George W. Bush. It's all good.
Yeah, it's true.
We're getting closer and closer.
Now, are you a New Year's resolution type lady?
No, not at all. I don't seek personal change in any way.
Your hair has been the same style for the last 20 years. No.
That's right. I just am not somebody who does that. You know what the big thing for me is? I make a wish at 11:11. If I catch a digital clock at 11:11, I make a wish. And that is pretty much as pagan as I get.
Wow. I love it. That means there's a lot of satisfaction in just the way things are. And I like that.
It's true. Well, satisfaction or just a deep, deep, you know, sort of sadness. I'm Jewish, so it just everything is, it's just, you know, you sort of accept your lot in life and that's the way it goes.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh yeah.
My God.
It's the way it is. I'm imperfect and so it shall be.
It's settled now. I did not know you were Jewish, and Amy did not know what rugula or kugel was the other day.
So you doesn't?
No, you're going to come over, and we're going to fix them together for her. I have a great rugula
there
recipe.
We go.
It's awesome.
There we go.
I love it. It's fantastic. Well, Amy is the waspiest Jewish girl you'll ever meet. She is. She's got a little bit of Jew in her. But no, yeah, she just doesn't look it from afar.
I don't. We were actually separated at birth, Jessica and I.
Really?
I believe it.
I just went to a Methodist coven down in East Tennessee, and she went somewhere very different. Hey, listen, so tell me, I mean, people probably do know this, but if they're listening to this Queercast and maybe they're not familiar with you, you spent a number of years here in Chicago doing stand-up, doing stand-up comedy, and then you moved into this really serious nonprofit sector of as the executive director of the Lesbian Community Cancer Project here in Chicago, and now you're going back into performing. Were you just missing really the ability to be in front of people and working material and doing that thing?
That's a great question. It's actually, I never saw it as different. My whole sort of, my trajectory has always been a mix of performance and activism. And sometimes, and sort of the professional activist has been a strong piece of it. You know, there's not a lot of money in stand-up comedy at this point for me.
Right.
But I always, you know, seeking change through people, you know, getting people from one place to another, moving them, whether it's through activism or politics or comedy, it's always been the same route. And, you know, running LCCP, obviously, at its very core is about, you know, providing real services and talking about real lives. But in the big picture, it was, you know, being responsible for a piece of a conversation in the LGBT community here in Chicago, nationally and internationally. And so I'm still, that's still, you know, that was always the same. I did that for 5 years, and it was a great place to be able to continue a conversation around our queer lives and the reality of those lives, and
yeah.
that people don't understand what it is, and it's, you know, the impact of discrimination and the hardships that we face, whether it's in the healthcare system or in politics. And so so now today, you know, during doing burlesque might, you know, and doing a burlesque show might seem completely crazy, but it's funny. I do think the Chicago community and nationally, it makes sense to a lot of folks in terms of these are our queer bodies, and we love and celebrate them in many ways. So that's sort of how it boils down to. But yes, I am now back full time to being an entertainer. And extremely poor to boot.
And you're living on the South Side, down near Barack Obama, aren't you?
I am. Barack and I, we celebrated last night. I am. I'm in Barack's old district. My partner and I moved to the University of Chicago campus, which is hysterical and fun and wonderful to be around 18 to 21-year-olds who are just starting out. And it's great.
Finding
fun.
Alcohol.
Yes.
Yeah, exactly. And it's also fun to be in Hyde Park, which is an amazing, beautiful community.
Oh, it's gorgeous.
It's so bohemian and delightful, and there's so many good coffee houses, and it's just wonderful to
be. My introduction to Chicago was actually Hyde Park, because the only person I knew when I moved to Chicago lived off of 53rd at Hyde Park and 53rd. And so I only knew how to access Chicago by taking the train and then getting on the L at Randolph. I literally didn't know how to access the city any other way. The weird thing is I have not ridden the train since I actually moved here.
Wow. I have.
And that's the Jewish part.
Thank you. Isn't that funny?
Thank you. I know. Well, I know. The whole
I'm here just to set them up for you, Jessica. I'm just here to set them up on a tee for you.
That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. But I do, I mean, it's sort of, you know, what just the burlesque part and the, you know, the story of entertainment is sort of, it's great to be here in Hyde Park, and it's great to be a sort of another part of the city, because the city does have so much going on. Mm-hmm. And I think oftentimes when we are in our little enclave on the north side, I lived in Andersonville for years and worked in Andersonville and, you know, partied in Andersonville. And it's great to be reminded of all the different parts of the city. And you know, we all do access it in different places.
Sure.
So
well, it is. And I think when you start to look at the cross section of the queer community, especially in Chicago, it's just, I mean, you put the magnifying glass on that and you see Chicago. You see all the different colors and flavors and sizes and shapes and things like that. And I think that's one of the awesome things I've seen with the Sissy Butch brothers is that there's not one prototype body or there's not one prototype person in the performance. There's actually all different kinds of people and all different kinds of shapes and sizes on stage.
Right. It is. What is the origin of burlesque, Jessica?
Well, I will speak for the Sissy Butch brothers, because I love them both so much. But they are creating a documentary, and they've been working on it for over 5 years now. As you know well, my partner, Red, has been working on a dissertation for a very long time. And a piece of that...
It takes a long time to become a doctor, Jessica. It just takes
doctor.
A long time.
It does. It does. And so a piece of the dissertation sort of ended up bringing Red to the Mojave Desert, where this place, Exotic World, existed for many years. And you can read about it on the website, and there's a lot there to learn about. But the gist of it is that the show is, you know, it started off as a way to raise money, just very simply. The great part about Chicago is that you can, you know, find a space and, you know, call the Windy City Times and get a listing in the calendar, and suddenly you have a real legitimate event.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yes.
I mean,
absolutely.
It's an amazing part. It's, you know, when we got here 10 years ago, it's how I started doing stand-up, and now it's how the birth of Burlesque. It happened at Stargaze.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they gave us a Saturday night. They built a stage. They're our friends. You know, I had friends helping me at the door, and we had friends doing, you know, the lights. And it just, you know, and we had no idea what it was going to be like that night. And, of course, for people who were there, it was a line out the door. I mean, I'll never forget. There was this old woman showed up. She was wearing a mask because she couldn't be around all the smoke, but she, like, left her house after 80 years to come see burlesque.
Wow. Oh,
something really important from her life. And
what are the misconceptions about burlesque, though? What is different with burlesque than stripping for somebody who doesn't see or know any difference?
Right. Well, it is. I mean, it is related, of course. I can't pretend when people ask me about burlesque, I can't pretend that it isn't. I'm not going to say it isn't at its core the beauty of the striptease, but it's more it's getting to understand the striptease in a whole other way, which is an incredibly you know, I just watched The Da Vinci Code, so now I'm all thinking about the sacred feminine power. But and there is something about seeing something that has been, I think, misunderstood as it exists right now in a whole other light, and seeing women in a whole other light, and seeing a stage controlled and dominated by women, just like you said, of all different sizes and types. And so burlesque is really a conversation. You'll see it as much more as a conversation, just like stand-up comedy is a conversation between the performer and the audience, or the performer and the history that this person's a part of, the performer and their own lives and their own body and their gender and their sexuality and their age and their race. And it allows us as an audience to be a part of a really interesting conversation where sexuality and sex is really important. It's important to all of our lives. And I think one of the things that Red and I both always felt as queer activists is that, you know, when we're fighting really hard for rights, we're fighting really hard for equality in the eyes of the law, but we can't forget that this really is about, you know, the basic power and control over our own bodies and lives and sexuality, and that's a beautiful thing. Mm-hmm. And so it's nice to be reminded during these burlesque shows that being queer, feminist, is just this amazing ability to have a conversation about something that is really not happening anywhere.
Well, yeah, it's very true. It seems to be one-sided, and especially I think old media tends to sexualize us in such negative ways.
Right.
So this is so refreshing. It's such a celebration. I have to say, you know, me as a big old gay boy going to one of these shows, I was a little apprehensive at first.
Right, of course.
But it was so amazing. And the level of talent that these performers have, I was blown away. I was like, how do you move like that? Girl, you got to show me how to do that.
Yeah.
It's just amazing.
You raise a good point. I think there is a story around gay men and their love of burlesque that's always existed.
Mm.
And now the gay men who have been coming to our shows just consistently always say, you know, there is that, you know, why would, you know, I'm not really looking for a night to see women half naked, but that's how they sort of start off thinking it, but then they really come to see that it's sort of gives them an opportunity to be a part of something that is a big, huge part of our queer history.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the gay men really enjoy it in a way that they don't get many opportunities to.
No, and anytime the boys and the girls can party together and have a good time,
I am
all for it, honey. All for it.
And there's drag. We've got incredible drag queens and drag kings in the show. You know, there's much more than just, you know, just the art of the female striptease. There's a lot of different stories of femininity and masculinity going on.
Well, there's a lot of theatricality to it, and
right.
We should just say that we have had Michelle Toots Lamour
right.
on Windy City Radio in the past, and she was Miss Exotic World,
right.
And she's going to be some of the finest in Chicago that's going to be performing with you.
She
but
is.
Who else do you have that's coming from all over to perform in the burlesque show? Who's going to strip? What ladies are going to
strip? Well, I mean, Michelle Lamour, again, she's the top of the game, and she's right here in Chicago. Again, Miss Exotic World this year is Julie Atlas Muse, and she's out of New York City. She's also a Whitney Biennial artist. I've described her in the realm of performance art and dance and, of course, burlesque, but, you know, what you'll see from Julie Atlas Muse will blow you away. She's been here, she's performed with us before, and she's just amazing. There's nothing like her, and it's a cheap and amazing opportunity to get to see probably one of the finest performers of our time.
Mm.
Coming from Seattle is Miss Indigo Blue, who's a very well-known queer woman, who's been performing for years, very well-known burlesque star, as well as a nice Jewish girl. Kind of nice, if you ask her to be. Alada Boutte is an artist out of San Francisco who's called Harlem Shake, and I think her name says it all,
Alada Boutte.
And coming from the warm parts of the Southwest is Satan's Angel, the Devil's Own Mistress. She's been doing burlesque for years upon years and is coming back to Chicago to perform once again. She is she comes from the era, a different era of burlesque. So what's beautiful is to be able to have the new stars of burlesque with one of the most famous older stars of burlesque stripping. I mean, she's on stage bearing it all, and she did it for our Chicago audience before, and they were blown away, and it's a beautiful, magical moment. And of course, we're honored to be joined by one of the newer artists in the burlesque scene is Margaret Cho, who has gone from stand-up comedy, which of course got its roots and it is firmly based in the burlesque vaudeville world, and has now been doing burlesque, and she loves it and is enjoying it, and we're thrilled to have her come and share her newest love with us.
Yeah, we interviewed her on one of our very first Queercasts, and as she was talking so much about her newfound passion for burlesque and just what it had done for her own self-esteem and for her own body issues and all of that. So when I saw that she was going to be headlining at your event, I said, that makes perfect sense.
Absolutely.
Plus, she loves Chicago and Chicago loves her. So, I mean, can you even imagine? I mean, I'm sure Red is just floored too that you all have moved from, and I don't think these are humble beginnings, but they're definitely more community driven beginnings of Stargaze, and you all placing a listing in the paper and saying, we're doing this thing where maybe you could have 150. 200 means we're not calling the fire department people in a room to where
19. There was only 119.
Only 119. That includes the wigs and the strippers. But now you're at the Vic, which is an enormous venue.
Huge venue. I think that is, I mean, I can't say enough about that. Is the part that I love so much about the Chicago community and really the Midwest. I mean, people, we've been watching the ticket sales for this, just like the other shows. We found out people have been flying in for years to come to these shows, as I know people do for Chicago entertainment and culture in general. This is the kind of town where, you know, the audience that we have has been supporting us, just tried and true. I mean, everywhere we go, they just say, oh, this is going to be great. I mean, they feel as invested in it as we do, which is the reason why it's grown and why we've been able to do this.
Right.
I mean, Chicago is an incredibly supportive community, and it's pretty awesome to have gone from such small beginnings to 2,800 seats.
Yeah,
makes me want to throw up a little bit.
Just in your mouth.
In my mouth. I just threw up a little bit.
It's Saturday, January the 13th. This Saturday, 3145 North Sheffield at Sheffield and Belmont at the Vic. And the set, there's two shows. Is that correct?
We went back and forth on should we do two nights or one night, and it's exhausting night, so we just thought we'd push it completely. So it's going to be a 7 o'clock show, which also lets us do something that we've heard our audience talk about a lot, which is there's, you know, plenty of people who don't want to stay up too late.
Yes.
Right.
And our shows have a tendency to go long and stay long. And so starting at 7, I think definitely fulfills a huge group of people's need to either get it in early and be able to go home, or else, you know, get it in early and keep going out. So 7 o'clock show, and then they'll be cleaned out, and then we'll start a new show at 10 o'clock. There might be one or two acts that are different, but it's basically the same show. Different energy. I can imagine that you're going to, even if you wanted to stay for both, you'd get to see something different in performers as well.
Mm-hmm.
And it lets us do it right there in the heart of Boys Town, which we love to do.
So convenient. You are literally not even half a block from the Red Line. So
exactly.
I encourage any of you to get your tickets now and then, you know, make sure you ain't driving, because, you know, you can have a cocktail at the Vic and you can party.
That's right. And you guys, that's another big piece of it. And Amy, I know you really, I mean, you know, again, starting at Stargaze and making, or having our friends print the flyers and cut them up, how it started to today, having a presenting sponsor like Stoli Vodka, having Time Out Chicago come on board. I mean, having mainstream corporations, as mainstream as, you know, you get with alcohol and, you know, media. But I mean, having folks really validate a part of the queer community like this has been really exciting as well. That's just a piece that let us get this big. It really let us dream big.
How do people get tickets? What's the best ways?
Well, you know, there's two ways. One is you can easily do it online through Ticketmaster, which lets you print out the easy PDF, or they mail them to you. You don't have to leave LaGrange, Illinois. You can stay right there and buy your ticket online. You know, I know we've got, you know, you've got folks all over the place who listen to this who are nowhere near downtown Chicago, and they're going to just, you know, they're going to Boys Town, and they're going to just come in for that one night. So you can easily do it at Ticketmaster, or go to sissybutchbrothers.com. You can't miss the link, sissybutchbrothers.com, right there in blue writing. I'll take you to the Ticketmaster site. But if you want to avoid those Ticketmaster fees and or you're looking for a trip to Andersonville, we're selling tickets with none of those extra charges at Women and Children First.
Awesome.
Because nothing says radical pro-sex feminists like Women and Children.
That's exactly right. And we'll have it linked on our site as well,
the
where you can go through and read about the event and purchase tickets directly through WindyCityCareerCast.com.
Yeah.
When you read about this show. Well, it's very exciting. My last question is, did you all think of calling up Miss Britney Spears and seeing if she would like to?
Honey.
Well, we have a law in Chicago. You can't show your vagina on stage.
You gotta hide the vajayjay. You can't let it out.
You have to cover it up a little bit. And, you know, there's certain tissue you can't show on stage.
Oh, my goodness.
Well, you can if there's no alcohol.
Well,
so
right. That's what I was going to say. You can't serve alcohol and show that tissue, and we do like our booze. You know, the stoli will be flowing, so cover up the vajayjays. No, we had to stay home. But if she would like to be in the next show, we'd be happy to have her.
All right. Well, maybe Miss Cho could start working on that out there in
that
LA.
Hysterical.
That would be very fun. Jessica, we hope that you will come back and be on the show sometime.
Yes.
And everybody, please go out and support Girlesque Burlesque. If you've never been to one of the smaller underground events, at Stargaze or where was it? What am I losing?
We did Abbey
the Subterranean,
Pub.
The Subterranean, the
that
Abbey
one
Pub.
Was a lot of fun. Yeah,
so
that one was
if you've
a lot
missed
fun.
Any of these and you've always thought about going, then this is the night to go. Saturday, January 13th at the Vic. You got two options. You got the 7 o'clock show or the 10 o'clock show. You can link onto our website or go to sissybutchbrothers.com to get tickets. Jessica, break legs, break fans.
Thank you guys so much. And congrats with the podcast. I love it. I'm so into it.
Thanks so much.
I'm all over it. I got my iPod. I can't say I listen to it working out because I don't work out. But
we love it. Thanks, Jess.
Okay, take care.
And folks, thanks for listening to another Windy City Queercast. This program is brought to you in part by Bud Light. Bud Light, always worth it.
And LaSalle Bank. LaSalle Bank, making more possible.
And American Airlines, offering exciting GLBT vacations online at aa.com/rainbow.
And Broadway in Chicago. For the hottest tickets in town, visit broadwayinchicago.com. So that's our show. I'm Amy Matheny.
And I'm Peter Maverick. Please comment on our shows at WindyCityQueercast.com and in iTunes.
And email us for giveaways at WCMGPromo@AOL.com.
Folks, we want to tell you that the next Queercast is only days away, so don't miss it. Windy City Queercast, queer, and now.
The best and the brightest, served up daily by the sharpest minds in content delivery, Pod Show and Limelight.